Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
He's Jared Weckerly.
You thought about doing a long one there.
I didn't. You can't remember him.
I think you did, and you're like, damn, I didn't take a breath, though, so it's not going to be a good one.
Didn't even remotely consider it.
Not even remotely.
Not Jared. Even remotely. Not
it's
even
the vibe I got, and I was wrong.
Remotely.
You're a bad vibe picker-upper. You're bringing my vibe down.
He's a good vibe dropper.
You guys suffer and succotash on these balls.
Wow, okay, nasty wow. Boy. All oof. Right, Paul Abdul style over there. So
two steps forward.
Is it country song?
Off to a rousing
we're
start.
Back with part two of our rookie running back breakdowns as four-parter is these running back classes, a four-parter, which is right. Crazy for how tepid this class is.
The water is just
lukewarm. I do think next two episodes, now they're about the same. Maybe slightly better.
Well, why don't we dive in? Find out,
boys. Let's find out.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
First up is Braylon Allen, wide receiver. Not a wide receiver.
Not a
running back.
A
Wisconsin.
Wide running back.
I saw the W in Wisconsin and just went wide receiver.
Tidy whities.
So he's a running back from Wisconsin. He's 6'1¼", 235 pounds. I think he slimmed down for this combine.
Youngest guy in draft.
9¼. Yeah, 9¼-inch hands. 31¼-inch arms. He's got a 76¼-inch wingspan. Not bad. Just turned 20. You heard
he's
me right.
Super young.
Just turned 20 in January, January 20th. Unbelievably
opposite
young.
Of almost the entire.
I thought class. I read it wrong. I was like, oh, he's gonna turn.
No, he played almost his whole entire third season at Wisconsin at 19. So wow. broad jump of 117 inches. He bench pressed 26 times. He had a vertical of 32 inches. He didn't do any of the speed drills. Doesn't surprise me. Last year in 11 games, 181 attempts, 984 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns, 28 receptions, 132 yards receiving, and zero touchdowns in the air. So who wants to take this guy? Come on.
So Braylon Allen, you know, you look at him, size, 6'2", 235, and his yards after contact, 3.66. And this is a guy that could come out ding. And – you know, with his youth, you're like, this is a guy.
And
I will say this because I only watch his 23 tape, and that's what I mostly try to do for a lot of these prospects, to stick with the year they're in, barring some kind of injury or something along those lines.
Yep.
And I did read that a lot of people said, hey, his freshman year when he came out and had 1,258 yards, averaged 6.8 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns. Was like his freshman and sophomore year was really, really good. And then Wisconsin changed their scheme and he just never adapted well.
So and this was this past season they changed it, right? To an air raid scheme.
Just for the 23. And he didn't fit that well.
And I wanted to note that as well because I didn't know that going into watching the film, but I did find that out along the way. And then I watched a little bit more film kind of through that lens. So go ahead.
He's somebody that comes in, and I mean, he's a big guy. He can run, but I mean, I just don't, there's for how big and strong he is, I don't see somebody that makes a big difference. I don't see the speed really show up on tape. I don't see that he's out there breaking tackles very much at all. I don't think that he can like escape the defenders, and I don't think he's extremely viable in the passing game. Like, I think he can catch the ball, but like, I don't think he's gonna be out there running routes or anything along those lines. I don't think he's gonna be used in the NFL. Now, I want to say out there with a grain of salt too, because he's so young.
He is so young. He's a hard eval. Yeah, he really is.
He can be molded in anything, but like from the tape, I don't see a lot of things where like, I don't see great burst. I don't see great elusivity.
I love the use of new words. Just keep going.
I was going to say elusiveness, but I just I had to throw that into the end of that.
Everyone knows what you're talking about. Go ahead.
So, I mean, he's big. He's powerful. You know, I saw a couple of nice stiff arms. I think it'd be a nice short yardage back. But off the tape that I saw from 2023, like, it looked like somebody who came to a new system that looked somewhat confused in where to go at times. Because wherever he did go, there wasn't a lot of juice there.
I feel like you're right. I think he was a bit of a square peg in a round hole this past season. I want to go back and actually watch a little bit of his 22 film. Just to see what maybe he can be in a different scheme. But this was the guy that we were alluding to when we were talking about how I watched a game and a half of him and thought he should not even be drafted.
That was angry.
I was angry about him. Now, as I watched,
he called me angry.
You probably heard his name a lot, and you're like, wait, this is him?
Exactly right. So I didn't have like a great base knowledge, but I knew I had heard of him, and I had a higher, I guess I had a higher in my brain kind of idea of what he was going to be rather than what I was actually seeing. So I was angry. It didn't make sense. I wanted more, and I eventually started seeing some things. So I think for his size, he doesn't always play as physical as you would want him to. And I can say that pretty easily, but there are times when he'll lower the boom on a guy and crush him in the open field. So if somebody said, hey, this is the new Braylon Allen, he's going to be like this 100% of the time, he's going to be this physical, there's something there.
I agree.
He had a great run versus Illinois.
But I just don't see it consistently enough. And then you throw on top that there was this scheme change. I have questions whether or not he wasn't a fit, and that's maybe why he's leaving when he's 20 and not sticking around after kind of a subpar year because he knows it's not going to get better for him there or what.
But he's somebody that I would have liked to have seen transfer. You know, we've seen
I would love that as well.
A lot of running backs have started doing that. They're transferring to better situations so that way they can really showcase their skills that kind of fit them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wish we would.
But here's what concerns me though as well is I would have been way more to like, okay, let me go back to that 22-21 tape. Let's get him the scheme. But then like 9'9" broad jump. 32-inch vert
doesn't run at the combine.
Doesn't run at the combine. Like that tells me like that translates to tape more than I see. Like, oh, not an overly explosive kid. Just like one of these big, young, strong kids who's a little athletic that could play the running back position. But like, I don't know if he can win at the, I don't know if he could be a starter running back in the NFL.
So
and it's like, I know Dynasty, a lot of people are getting attracted to this youth and how young he is and all these, amongst all these old running backs and, oh dude, yeah. It's just, like all the things that we're talking about, like the scheme change and what he did as a freshman. I don't know, man. Like I feel like he'll be one of the more overdrafted players in my eyes. Cause I don't see a lot of juice there.
So he's a weird guy because not only is he inconsistent with his, maybe use of power and lowering his pads. He also seems inconsistent in his lateral explosiveness. There were times when it looked like he couldn't move at all side to side. And then there's times when he busts off this big jump cut. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? Why didn't you use that more often?
That run versus Illinois where he had a big jump.
And I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
It seems to be when he's not a problem solver in the backfield, because he is somebody that needs to build up speed.
Yeah.
And the times that I saw him be able to make some of those moves was when he already had a head of steam. And so I think he is somebody that is more of a build up speed, which typically doesn't work. Now we have a guy like Derrick Henry where it did work.
Yep.
But to me, he doesn't have the same type of traits that Derrick Henry had. Even though he says that they talk all the time and they're, you know, which is great. That's who you'd want to be mentoring, a guy like this.
I talked to my grandma.
But does she mentor you?
I don't see her breaking off 20-yard runs.
I kind of fell in line with you guys. I'm having a really hard time on my nerd score for him because it sounds worse than I actually feel about him.
Yeah.
But I can't give him good marks for explosiveness, for game speed, for burst and acceleration and quickness. Like, I can't give him even average marks.
I'm starting to do nerd score stuff, and I may have a hard time quantifying a number when at one play it looks like a 4 and another play it looks like an 8. Where do you put that number?
Right.
Because there's just no consistency in the play I've seen.
In the middle.
Do you, though?
I don't know. I'm not doing work on my nerd score. You
So he ended up with a 66.7 for me, which I feel like how I feel about him is more like a 70.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part is typically what I feel about a player and the number that spits out are pretty darn close. This is one of those few times where I feel like I'm having a hard time being able to put the right numbers to put how I feel. But but all of that being said, like I don't think the explosiveness is there. I think he's got decent vision. I do think that he can be a physical player. What does give me hope is that age.
Yeah. When he starts drinking.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be an angry drunk. And then I think if he can get with an NFL team, he can get with the right running back coach. He can get
You just horn this guy around.
Basically. I think that there's an opportunity
Sometimes getting loose is what you need
to develop.
This young man's about to get frisky.
I think there's room for him to develop, but drafting a guy as highly as you will likely have to draft a Braylon Allen as a project is going to be really difficult for me to do in my rookie drafts.
As a dynasty fantasy football prospect, who's going to be a first and second down guy, who's not a third down guy, who's not very viable in the passing game, like I need some of that juice. I need some of that explosive, definitely for his size and what he does. Like, for him to win on the fantasy football scale, right? Like, not from the NFL scale, not saying this kid is going to be on an NFL team.
For sure.
He's viable. But for him to be a fantasy football provider, to give you points, to have that consistability, like,
he invented that word like a month ago.
I know.
He's going to have to be a touchdown guy. Yeah.
Like, I don't.
He is. He's going to have to be a 10 to 12 touchdown guy.
He's going to be one of those people that are going to, like, you're going to draft. He's going to be on your taxi squad. You're going to promote him off your taxi squad because he's only 22 years old after he's been on your roster for 2 years. He's still on the NFL team. He's not going to be the kind of guy that you're going to put in your starting lineup, because when you do, you're not going
to
win.
To me, he's a Zach Charbonnet with much worse feet. Like, that's
Zach Charbonnet catch the ball well.
I had him graded about a 70. I think I had a speed a little higher than you, Garrett. And
okay, I have him at a 5.
I do think he's a build up speed guy, though. Like you were saying, Matt, like his burst. I didn't see much burst there. I thought he had a really nice stiff arm, though. I thought he did a good job of using that.
That's my plus,
especially amongst everyone I watched. I think his stiff arm was probably the best as far as using it.
Strong kid, big strong
kid.
For how
big he is, I think he's actually a pretty good athlete. Like I saw some functional movement in his in his movement, and I agree with Garrett. I thought his vision was pretty good. So I think there is potential here for this kid. And I did see the same thing as you, Rich, with like his tape from this year was not as good as his tape from years prior. And I know a lot of people in like the Devy space, like he was a talked about guy. Like this guy's
Him and Travion Henderson.
Yeah, I knew his name. Like I knew, I was excited to go into his
exactly.
tape.
And everyone kind of came away a little, underwhelmed, from this past season. So he's going to get some draft capital. That's we don't see 6'2", 245 guys come around often. And
I can't imagine he gets past Round four at the worst?
I think Rich might be right, though, just due to the name factor and his size. You know, went to Wisconsin. Like, he might be an overdrafted guy just
in rookie drafts.
In rookie drafts, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So I can't see me being able to take a guy that I view as a project as high as he's going to go.
And he's not off my board. No. I think he's young enough where there's, and he's got past production where with the right coaching staff, he could turn into something. But that something's probably a couple years down the road.
He's got a couple years to burn, man. Dude's 20 years old.
Which he does. Yeah. And that's why he's not off my board. Yeah.
If he was one of these 24-year-old guys, he'd be different.
He falls forward. He gets yards.
Yeah, he's not the worst thing that I've seen yet at all. And he's intriguing because of his size. But, like, I'm very hard pressed. Like, he needs to do a lot to become fantasy football relevant. Like, again, because we're talking guys, like, remember, like, PPR leagues, like, which is where we all play, like, you need some of that, like, right? Like, if you're just a first down guy where he's coming in, yeah, he's getting carries. He's getting 10 touches a game, but he's getting you 55 yards a game. Like, which is okay in NFL, like, for an NFL team, but, like, his 5.5 points per game isn't making a difference for you, right? So, yeah. That's where my hardest thing with him is, like, where does he turn into a dynasty fantasy football roster?
So this is the last thing I'll say on this guy. His good is really pretty good. I do like when I see it, I'm like, okay, I can see how this will function in the NFL. The bad stuff, that's the stuff I was watching when I was angry and writing Rich about, I don't even think this guy should be drafted. Like, I'm that polarized on this guy. Like, he could be a second round draft pick.
It's getting better
if it was all the good stuff. Could go undrafted if it was all the bad stuff and just not even be in the NFL. Like, so he's that polarizing to me. But what I don't want to do is make the mistake of writing him off like I did a Kyren Williams a few years back. I want to try to learn from that lesson and give this guy a shot to get better. He is super young, and so where Kyren Williams, maybe I didn't see some of the good. I didn't even allow myself to see some of the good. I'm not going to do that to Braylon Allen. I'm going to take the good and say, this is his potential. He's only 20 years old. If he gets in the right system, if he gets to the right coaches and they weed out some of that bad stuff he does and make him shine with some of the good stuff that he does, he could be an excellent player.
He needs to be confident, a one cut runner, get up north, get a little bit more wiggle in those hips. You know, use that vision and trust your size and just to beat that secondary.
Just go and be physical. You're a physical, big physical back. Go be physical.
You know what pissed me off in his film? It was his pass protection. Like, he was always catching and getting pushed back. And he's 6'2", 245.
He's got to learn that.
I had a really hard time with his pass protection. It's like because
he's soft.
Because I gave him a good score, even though his technique was poor.
He still got the job done.
But he got the job done.
Dude, there's every a lot time. Of
I agree.
Passes.
Every time. Sorry,
he caused the quarterback to come off his mark and make a bad throw. And
he crushed a dude. Was it? It might have been Buffalo. He crushed a dude in pass pro.
Pass pro.
You gave him a five?
I mean, he leveled him.
Right, maybe I need to go back because
I watched a lot of games.
I gave him an eight.
I gave him an eight, too.
Yeah. I think he got the job done for his quarterback.
Right. I think it's something that can be improved upon very easily.
You're getting pushed back in the lap of your quarterback. That's not getting the job done to me.
I mean, every NFL, running back gets
NFL
pushed back.
NFL level, it won't work.
Very few running backs are going to be able to deliver the type of punch that they're not getting pushed back. Almost every running back gives ground to some extent.
You got
to
buy time.
It was causing the play to become broken.
All right, I'll go back and watch. I'll go back and watch and see.
I think it was the Buffalo game. Try to watch the Buffalo game. And
I don't have the Buffalo game marked down. That I watched.
I think I watched it. I think it was on the YouTubes. Okay. So go check it out.
That's
go
Buffalo.
But he crushed him.
He should. That's what was pissing me off.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I'm not saying he needs to level the guy every time, but dude, I mean, he's playing patty cake.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the Mini is live. Woo. On Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out the DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, next up, Jalen Wright, Tennessee running back, 5'10.5", 210 pounds. 9 3/8 inch hands, 31 and a half inch arms, 75 7/8 inch wingspan. He is also 20 years old. He'll be 21 on April Fool's Day. He ran a 4.38 in the 40-yard dash. He had a 1.55 10-yard split. He didn't run the 20-yard shuttle or the three-cone. He had a 134-inch broad jump.
All time.
38-inch vertical. 134 inch.
38 inches, dude. 11'2"
11'2".
It's nuts.
Ridiculous.
One of the all-time best ever.
In 12 games last year, he had 137 rush attempts, 1,013 yards, 4 touchdowns, 22 receptions, 141 receiving yards, and no additional touchdowns.
Jalen Wright, when watching him, it reminded me, I talked earlier, you know, I've had a few different guys where comps have seemed to come a little bit easier for me in this class than some others have. And he was a guy that it reminded me of a poor man's guy that we had last year in Jahmyr Gibbs. I think they have some similar skill sets and similar style play to their game. I don't think he's as good as Jahmyr Gibbs.
Either. He's not as explosive.
He's not as explosive overall as Jahmyr Gibbs, but it's a similar play style and similar effectiveness with that play style. I mean, the guy made plays in almost every game he was in. You could point to at least one play where he made a game-changing type play. Whether that was, you know, a long breakaway run, making somebody miss in the open field, a nice catch. Like,
getting some extra yards with a spin move.
Yeah.
Loves that spin move.
He does love that spin move. and he's got a decent dead leg, too. He can make some guys miss in the open field. So, overall, I was very impressed with his tape. He has really good game speed overall, the burst and acceleration, the quickness. He doesn't have the best contact balance overall, and there's not much of a physical element to his game.
He's not a pile mover. He doesn't get pushed backwards though a lot, I noticed. So he's drawing stalemates out there at least.
Right. So he is somebody that, you know, to be a more complete back, I would like to see a little more physicality in his game, but I think he has so much success with being able to make guys miss that he leans on that. He is somebody that is a problem solver. You know, when I talked before about Braylon Allen not being able to be a problem solver, Jalen Wright is. And you can see that he does a good job at times of... Now, granted, there were some times his offensive line made some awesome holes and awesome plays for him. But there were some other times where he made his offensive line look good.
He'll flash.
Yes.
He'll flash one hole and go to another spot.
And that was one of the things. He pressed the line really good. And then was able to make that quick decision to be able to bounce. And that's something that you can try to teach guys, but most guys, they either have that ability to understand how to press.
That's an instincts. That's what we were talking about, the instincts of being running back earlier.
Le'Veon Bell did best.
Yeah, right. He was fantastic at that. And Jalen Wright has that in his game and in his repertoire. So he has the ability to make his offensive line look good, even if they're making mistakes.
And Breece Hall is the best example of a guy that can do that right now and did it fantastic coming out of college.
State, yeah. Like watching a video game. I I thought Jalen Wright was the second best running back easily I've watched so far.
Agreed.
Of these last 2 days, like easily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we talk about combine before, where does it translate to tape? Like, this translates to tape. His speed, it's really nice. For somebody who's super athletic, I didn't think he was laterally as explosive as I would hope he would have been for, good. Just for what I saw, like the kind of player he is, I thought he'd move better laterally. Than he would. But, I mean, I liked a lot. You mentioned how, like, every game you would see something big. This is somebody who he had out of 136 carries, 19 out of 136 carries went for over 15 yards. Somebody who ran over 10 yards on 25% of his runs, right? So he is a big play waiting to happen. And like you said, a lot of that has to come getting to the line, doing the press, getting outside, and hitting a hole and going. Mm-hmm. And obviously his speed, that translates very well. Very good in the passing game as well. Catch the ball really well. Thought his good, really good stop-start ability was really there. Not really going to break, like you, Matt said, like not overly physical. Not gonna break a lot of tackles that way either. So not where
I think in the open field he can get some extra stuff off DBs. He's not going to grind out any yards with
gets linebackers
or defensive linemen or anything
like that. Yeah, so like you don't like his contact balance, but I thought he had good balance off of contact.
agree to disagree.
I mean, like, I thought, like,
explain what you mean.
Explain yourself.
So, like, I don't think he's overly physical. But like I think he could bounce off, like I thought he did a really good job like bouncing off hands and moving that way when people got, like, he's not gonna break a lot of tackles to be overly physical.
The level of actual contact.
How about that? Okay. Like
so he does a good job of bringing like arm tackles.
Yeah. His balance there was like he didn't like just go like a Guarendo, right? Like, see ya. You know, like
go right down, you mean?
Yeah, go right down. Like he's not a physical runner. He's not going to break a lot of tackles, but I thought he was
physical enough
for what, for his play style. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
He going back to like,
I thought he had good pad level. How about that? I thought he had a nice pad level. I do think he used a spin move. I mentioned it earlier.
That was nice
to kind of effectively maybe get glancing blows. You know what I mean? Not take on full guys hits.
Being able to square up.
Yeah. And if guys can't square up on him, I do feel like he's got enough contact balance to kind of make that work in the open field.
Kind of a fellow schoolmate, right? Like a not as shifty Alvin Kamara.
I don't love the Alvin Kamara stuff for him. I see why people are drawing the comparison. I Alvin Kamara is just a much better running back than him.
Alvin Kamara is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
He's an all-time fantasy.
Can I say one thing that did kind of bug me though? Because we've spoken pretty confidently in him, and rightfully so. He's second best guy so far. One thing that did drive me nuts, though, he really did not want to run between the tackles. Like, watching him play, any opportunity to not have to run between the tackles, he took it. Mm-hmm. He took it. And sometimes I think that was the right decision. You know, there are times where it's much wiser to be able to bounce outside, and he has the moves to be able to make that look correct. But I think that there were times that the more effective route was straight up the middle, and he I don't know if it's going back to the physicality thing or what it is, but it seemed like he really tried to bounce as much as he could get away with.
And to add on that and kind of get back to a point that Rich was making, or kind of counter a point that Rich was making, you were saying that you think the speed lines up with what you see on tape. I disagree to that on that a bit. I don't think he's slow by any stretch of the imagination, but we right off the bat, you know, you set out the Jahmyr Gibbs comp, and Jahmyr Gibbs was 0.02 seconds faster than him. He was a 4.36. This guy's a 4.38. And I think they're night and day as far as game speed. I do think Jahmyr Gibbs is just much quicker and much faster than Jalen Wright here. So that's because I think a Jahmyr Gibbs can get away with going outside and making more plays and making more yards out there. And I think he's fast. Don't get me wrong. He's fast. He's just not that one gear more that you need to be a huge difference maker at the NFL fast. He's not that fast.
You know, it's funny too, because The first game I watched, I believe it was versus Georgia.
Oh, the very first play of the game?
The very first play. So complete opposite of both what you're saying. Very first for the
One carry, 75-yard touchdown. Yeah. Yep.
In between the tackles and burns everybody.
Rest of the game?
Wide open.
Rest of the game? 8 carries, 15 yards.
I'm just saying, it was just funny. Like, both your guys' complaints was the very first play I ever saw. It was versus Georgia. Yeah. First carry of the game. In between the tackles. I'm like, ooh.
Oh, see, this is going to be fun. It's right when he goes up the middle and he's always trying to bounce it outside. So,
and I just see a lot of opportunity here with the Jalen Wright for fantasy football production, right? Like, I like his patience behind the line. You're right, he does get a little outside. I would like to see him in like some outside zone schemes there to get him the football. I love his ability in the passing game as well. So, like,
Very good pass catcher.
I see a lot of opportunity for him to be a viable fantasy football running back here.
And lastly, the last note I'll say, because I echo a lot of what you guys are saying. I wonder, with his skill set, is he a complementary player or is he a guy that can carry the load? And that's...
My guess is probably more of a complementary player, which is not a huge deal in today's NFL. Austin Ekeler was a glorified complementary player.
Tony Pollard type of guy?
Tony Pollard, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah. Like, right. Him and Braylon Allen together would be a
super
good
soldier. Super soldier. But I did like his game. I forgot to mention, he got a 74.48 for me. So it was a good score. 74.83 is the highest so far with Jonathan Brooks, though.
Yeah, he was my highest graded running back so far. He's 74.6. A guy I've been high on for a really long time. I actually was pounding the table for him coming in his freshman year at Tennessee. He got a little banged up that year. But cool to see it come through fruition, especially for my Devy rosters. I thought he had really good feet.
Very good feet.
Saw the holes well. I had his patience and his vision both marked at an 8. I didn't really pick up on the bouncing too much thing that you were mentioning, Garrett, but I'll have to go back and pay attention to that. But I thought his speed did show up. Like, I thought he was extremely fast and had that juice and just something that didn't pop out on anyone else's film so far amongst this group and yesterday's group. But I agree, doesn't break a ton of tackles. Not super elusive, but another guy that's shifty enough. So I think he could end up being the top running back taken, just given some of the things that he offers.
Today's game.
His jump cut ability helps his
shiftiness. And he's young, too.
He's super young. Yep.
There's a lot to work with there. And Tennessee's not really known for they rotated him in and out a lot with, like, two other guys, and I'm surprised.
There's a lot of SEC schools that do that, where they rotate their backs quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't give it to him more because he's best running back I've seen in this class so far. Jonathan Brooks and him are both like 1A, 1B for me right now.
His draft capital will give him a boost. I think NFL teams don't want him on the roster.
Yeah, I could see him going round 2.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see once, you know, we line these two guys up, because I think for us, I think we're all – the one thing that is – fairly consensus with us of everybody that we've watched, and I think we can safely say, even the guys we're going to talk about, these are the top two backs.
And you know what? I know this sounds like a cheap,
definitely,
because you could say this. I know you could throw this anywhere on anybody, but he'd be a really good fit with Isaiah Pacheco and the Chiefs. Like, sure, he'd be a really good complimentary back to Pacheco. Let Pacheco play out the last year of his rookie deal, and then give him another opportunity. Like, he'd be a really good fit on the outside of, you know, Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. There, I think he'd be a really good fit.
I think he's a great fit with somebody that's going to be a banger. Anyone that doesn't catch passes, I think he would compliment them really well. Mm-hmm. I just question whether or not he can take that next step and become a every down back. So that's the only concern kind of I have with him. And not that I have him as a bad speed guy. I don't want it to make it sound like that. But 4.36, 4.38, it just looks different, Jahmyr Gibbs versus him, to me.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs, like, burst is better.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, there's something.
That
difference. I agree with you. Like, there's something that with Gibbs
that differentiates
different than Wright.
His stop-start ability, his whole overall, explosiveness is different.
So I wanted to make sure that was out there.
You're not saying he's slow. I just don't think he's elite fast.
Exactly.
And maybe a guy like Jalen Wright, though, Matt, like, isn't the kind of guy that you want to be that three down, every single down back.
I don't think so.
Maybe the way he wins is 2022 Tony Pollard, right? Where totally. Hey, he fits with that Zeke Elliott, and all of a sudden you do put him in that role, like, all of a sudden everybody's disappointed.
Yeah, Austin Ekeler.
It's not a good fit. So maybe his best role is going to find into that mold. And what we've learned is, again, those are very relevant fantasy football
for sure.
players. And that's where he wins.
So PPR gold.
I don't love this guy. I don't love Jalen Wright because I'm like, oh, he's a three down running back. He's coming out there. He has the skill set that scores fantasy football production. Like, sure. I want him on there second and third down. I don't need him in a first down. Like, I need him on there. I need him to get to be about 15 touches a game.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
You want him to kill the end of the half and kill the end of the game. You know,
and six or seven of those to be receptions.
As it stands mid-range right now, high-end running back two, where some weird year he ends up as a running back one once. Like, that's the kind of upside I see with him.
Where we're at right now, his nerd score comes out right around, like, Tajay Spears, Zach Charbonnet, Travis Etienne, where I don't think he's going to get round one capital like Etienne did, but just, I mean, those are some good names.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I'm not viewing, like, I mean, I think Jonathan Brooks has the upside of being a running back one, but, like, that's what's enticing about him.
They're different running backs.
Completely different running backs.
They win differently.
Mm-hmm. At least he can win fantasy football-wise, and he can be on my dynasty roster for about 3 to 5 years, and I can start him.
I just wanted to make sure it was mentioned the type of guy you're probably getting your hands on.
Okay.
And that's it. You know, that's why I mentioned it.
I think the one thing with Jonathan Brooks too is he's got the height and the build to fill out a little bit more and to get into the 220s and, you know, a little more. I don't think you're adding much more weight, so I don't know that the physical component will ever be there for.
You don't think Wright can get bigger?
For Wright. Not much. I mean, I think almost every guy's going to add 5 pounds or so once they get to
the
NFL.
I think he has a body type thing a little bit bigger.
Me too.
He looks sometimes a little thicker.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I think Jonathan Brooks is a guy that I think could end up playing at a 225.
I mean, how tall is he too? He's like 5'10 and a half, right?
Yeah, where Jonathan Brooks is 6 foot.
5'10 and a half. So, like, he's not small. He's
pretty average.
I think he could grow a little bit more. Like,
maybe. I would be shocked if we see Jalen Wright ever be a physical player. But
cushion for the push.
I thought he was just as physical, if not more, than Brooks.
I don't think so.
All right, moving on. Next guy up, Jace McClellan. Alabama running back, 5'10" and 3/8 inch height. 221 pounds.
Some big hands. You were going to say hands.
It was. He does have some big hands. 10 1/4 inch hands. 31 1/8 inch arms. 75 1/2 inch wingspan. He is 21 years old. He'll be 22 on the 25th of June.
He's like the only one with a normal age.
He is very normal. He does not have any scores for any of the speed stuff. He benched 20 times. Last year at Alabama, in 13 games, he had 180 attempts on the ground, 890 yards, 8 touchdowns, 15 receptions, 137 yards receiving, and no additional touchdowns.
Jace McClellan. He is
the epitome of fine.
He is fine. Here's my biggest question.
Like Damian Harris coming out of Alabama.
He kind of is.
Yeah. Yep. Like, can he create on his own?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
That's my biggest question mark for him. Because, like, yeah, he'll get you what's there. Yeah. And he's a very fine running back. Mm-hmm. And he catches the ball well, he runs the ball well there, but can he create on his own? Can he take a step and be a feature running back? Because to me, I look at him as just a complimentary running back that belongs in the NFL, is a nice running back, knows what he's doing, does everything fine, but doesn't do anything that really tips the scales. It's like, I got to get this guy on my roster. Like, he's very Joe Blow. He's the definition of a Jag.
I wish I had more to add.
Decent power.
I really like, he's really good at everything. Or not really good. He's good at everything and not great at anything.
Yeah, his pass pro is not great. I agree with that. I thought I saw a decent burst on some of his runs. Like, I think once he hit that hole, he would hit it pretty quickly and decisively.
Does anyone know, like, what he came in as? A 5-star?
He was a 5-star. Yeah. I think he was the number injured. One guy
got,
in his class.
Tore his ACL in 2021.
Yeah, he got injured early on.
Okay.
And maybe that took away some of what he has.
And he was, you know, Alabama's always a tough place for running backs in general. He was supposed to be kind of the guy, and then Gibbs transferred in, and it kind of rocked the boat with that for him.
Don't forget
and
Josh Jacobs.
He was still involved. He was still involved there, you know, when Gibbs was playing. He was still part of the equation and the rotation. But I completely understand where you guys are at, and that's kind of what my score reflects. I have him at a 68.4, which is not like a bad score, but it's not a good score either. It's one of those scores where if everything were to fall right, he could be something. And I think that's the tricky part with him is there are traits that I could see him improving upon. And so, like, there's some guys where there doesn't seem like, you know, I'll go back. I know you like him more than I do, but like Ray Davis, I don't see where he could improve.
Yeah.
I could see that with Jace. Like, I could see that with him. And so I want to leave that open as a possibility where the right team, the right system, like, especially former five-star guy, like, that's interesting. There was something there that didn't quite fully get to where we've seen some other Alabama backs get. But in no time of me watching him, was I like, ugh, yeah, I don't like him. Like,
Matt that started off perfectly saying he's very fine. Like, he's got really good vision.
I liked his vision.
Yeah, I liked his vision. I thought, but what sucks is like, and that's what you're saying, and what like even you saying with the fineness is like you could tell like he sees what needs to happen, but like he doesn't have that explosiveness.
Yeah.
Or ability to make it happen, right? Like, he knows where to go. What to do.
He's a dime a dozen.
He's not special from a speed or burst standpoint. He's got enough to be in the NFL.
More than enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think he has nice lateral agility in, like, small, confined areas. He can get to a hole and kind of make a guy miss in a hole. He's not gonna make anyone miss in the open field. He's not that type of guy, but he can move just enough laterally, I think, to do that kind of stuff.
Do you have a score? Did you spit out a score? I had a 68 on him too, Garrett. So we were pretty much in line.
I'm not ready to share my scores quite yet. That's fine. Mine was slightly lower. So just so everybody knows, like, I think mine was like 65.
Historically, Garrett and I have done the nerd scores, but we, you know, Rich and Matt are trying it out around this year.
With it in the background.
Yeah. Since Matt's, I mean, they do the breakdowns.
Matt's just dipping like his toe in the water. Yeah. I'm still just looking at the water.
Yeah. Seems questionable to me.
I got scores for certain things. If I sat down, I could. The problem is, like, I have so much tape to watch.
Yeah.
He has okay power. You know what I mean? Like, he has some grind out ability. And so in the right situation, he could for sure find himself in a starting gig for a short amount of time. But I think they're always going to be looking to get better at that position. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was an injury and he filled in for the second half of a year, they wouldn't next year be like, we have our starter. They would be like, we need to go find a starter if that other guy was done forever.
His wig ability
is not bad.
Not bad.
It's okay.
Got a little wiggle in that jiggle.
Yeah, just a little though.
Just a little.
Just enough.
Enough. Everything he has is pretty much like
it's
enough.
Just
like,
enough.
So it's weird because, and that's the thing too, when you look at him, you're like, oh man, that's a running back.
You want him 5'10", 221. First off the bus, right?
You're like, that's a guy right there. This is a guy that's going to show me something. And you walk in and you're like, oh, okay.
He showed me a little something. Yeah. Just a little
something. Like, this is going to taste flavorful. I'm like, that's a good glass of water.
All right, so let's move on, right? We can all agree that he's an okay all-around
back. Maybe.
Him or Ray Davis for you?
I probably won't draft him in any.
It would be Jace for me over Davis.
Me too.
I got a lot of years, a lot of extra years with Jace.
And you remember last show where I said in the beginning, I was like, all these guys, I could kind of rank them, but where they end up and their draft order is going to dictate it. That's exactly how that will play out.
That's why I think you should do the score. It would help you with that, I think. Like, sort these guys out a little bit prior to.
Got 10 years of consistency going on.
Yeah, you know it.
Right, more than I'm wrong, but thank God. I need it.
All right, so moving on to our next consistability guy, Frank Gore Jr., Southern Miss, 5'7" and 5/8 inches, 201 pounds, 8 1/4 inch hands, 29 5/8 inch arms, 70 5/8 inch wingspan. He is 21 years old as of 3/13/02. Or 3/13/02 is his birthday. What's the date today?
15th.
13th. Tomorrow. Okay, so tomorrow's his birthday. He'll be turning 22 by the time this podcast comes out. He didn't run anything.
That's a surprise there.
He had 12 bench press reps, which
is low.
I probably shouldn't have done it if 12 was the number you were going to get. Last year in 12 games, he had 231 rush attempts, 1,131 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns, 27 receptions, 221 yards receiving, and an additional 3 touchdowns.
Remember that DNA thing I was talking about?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. We got another one that falls into that bucket.
How long are his arms?
Not long. 29 and 5/8.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to pick the apple off that tree. The arms weren't long enough.
I was like, oh, he's alligator arm it. And I'm like, oh, never mind. It's just his arms.
Man, I wanted to like Frank Gore Jr. Dude, more than I did.
So did I.
Me too. I really wanted to like him. And I've heard some people, you know, even the one tweet I put out, he's in the top five for some people.
That guy has no idea what he's talking about.
But all of that being said, watching him play, the speed was not nearly as good as I thought it was going to be for an undersized player. So
He changes directions
decently well, yeah. And I think he had decent contact balance for his size. I just don't know that it would work at the next level with that type of competition. Okay, in the receiving game, like,
yep,
there was just, but you're that was it.
All the highlights.
Yeah, I even like for a guy that's a former NFL Suns back. Back son, I don't know.
Running
I
said
that
weird. Son.
Sack but, out the sack.
But you can like, tell he's got that like footwork and all that kind of stuff.
The
like,
footwork's there,
hand on
like
the ground to stay up.
He like, understands like some of the detail things, yeah. But like I even thought like I would have thought his like vision would have been better than it was, and it was fine. But it was like there was nothing that was like, oh, he gets it like his dad did. Like that wasn't there.
He blocks good.
It's unfair sometimes too.
It like, is. It's bad. Mean. You know, it's mean. Like. Your dad was a Hall of Fame back. Like,
right.
You were a Division I guy that made it to the combine. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But not for what we're doing. Like, I don't see a real path for Frank Gore Jr.
No burst. Not very quick. Not
I
very
feel like
fast.
He's quick. He's just not very fast.
Not great size.
I liked his contact balance a lot. I thought he blocked really well.
Me too. Me too.
I thought he could run routes, which was kind of nice.
He was fine.
One of those guys that when they get hands on him. He's going down.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, he's not an NFL running back, unfortunately. He out of, if I was doing like my nerd score, like he'd grade out as one of my lowest.
Would you get Garrett?
So I had two guys that I didn't have quite enough tape where I felt confident to get, like, for me, I have to have four games before I will put down a score. I was able to get two of his. I got to find more. He was another one that was hard to find 65. Tape on.
He looks like his dad.
He does look like his dad. That helps.
Smaller.
That's a pro.
Shorter
just
version.
In the face. That's it.
In the face,
In the other
physical
attributes.
That was a beast coming off two ACL tears in college.
65.
I wrote my last thing that listen, there's not a lot of great stuff on here. If he even makes a roster, it would be as a...
Because of his DNA.
It would be. He would be a pass-catching little guy. Like he can't operate in the NFL as an every down back in any capacity. He's not going to earn any kind of big role. I wish there was more tape out there. I did write that because I really liked his father. But undrafted. From what I've seen, there's just not much there.
Undrafted.
There's just not much there.
Let's move on.
Yep.
Yep.
No bueno. Off my board.
Yep. Agree. I would rather have Mike Wiley.
Me too. Which stinks because I like Franco.
I'd rather have the 86 receiver.
All right. Next up, Audric Estime. Estime. Notre Dame, 5'11" and 3/8", 221 pounds, 10 1/4 inch hands, 32 3/8 inch arms, 76 1/2 inch wingspan. He is only 20 years old. He'll be 21 in September. In the 40-yard dash, it was not good, but we're not going to write him off because there's been other Notre Dame guys that were also not good.
It's fair.
And he ran a 4.71 in the 40. The 10-yard split was 1.58. He didn't run any of the cone drills. Probably wise. At the broad jump, 125 inches, 23 bench presses, and 38-inch vertical. So there are some explosive
measurables.
Explosive numbers in there. In 12 games last year, 210 carries, 1,341 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, 17 receptions, 142 yards receiving, and no additional touchdowns through the air.
If you're going to run a 4.7,
don't run.
Don't run.
You do it at your pro day.
So stupid.
Everyone knows that you're slow. We can see it on tape.
But you know what? Maybe he thought he was going to run better. Like some of these guys up their players and... And they say, oh, yeah, you're going to crush it, bro. Yeah, you're going to. And then they don't.
All these guys better be running the 40 multiple times going into the combine. And you should know what you're going to
do. You should, but.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, Notre Dame running back, big bruiser type guy, right?
Austin Estime. Coming off
Audric. It's Audric, but
not Austin.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Autocorrect.
Canadian.
Autocorrect. Canadian. Yeah. You know, Young, like you said, came in and had a really good year, 1,341 yards, yes. Average 6.4, 18 touchdowns. Came in, set a school record this year with 18 rushing touchdowns. And as do that at a school at Notre Dame, that means something.
It does.
Right? So, sure. Set a school record there. I liked his lateral agility for a guy of his size. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty nice to see him move laterally the way he did. I thought he showed some really good patience. Sometimes a little bit too much patience, but good patience nonetheless. A big guy, but I mean, this is somebody who his burst is pretty limited. His speed's very limited. His 40 times showed that as well. I will say for a guy that runs a 4.7, there's times on tape, like he looked faster than that for sure. Like I thought his tape, he looked faster than the 4.7 at times. I think he
plays faster than 4.7.
See a player, he hurtled that dude. I was like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, he was good vertical.
He was able to get. Yeah. He was able to get to the edge sometimes and show some speed, but not enough speed. You know, I guess is the best way to put it. And it's
build up speed.
And it's build up speed.
Totally.
Somebody, I mean, just real like lethargic really at times. To me, he's just a guy, a timeshare running back. Ding. That's what he is. This is a guy.
He is a timeshare guy. He's a big. He should be a complimentary bruiser, goal line back for some team. I do think he's.
He's okay. A slower footed AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
If you can. Yeah, sure. Yeah, because AJ Dillon
has decent feet.
Dillon had pretty good feet. I think he can get, for a big guy, he can get small at times and get through some little crevices and stuff like that. But yeah, I think he's the burst and the overall top speed, I think, is what's going to limit him in the NFL to just kind of you're going to operate on short yardage situations. You're going to operate at the goal line.
Yeah.
Get us a first down, get us a touchdown when we need it. If we need somebody to grind out a game at the end, we're going to give you the ball and you go do your thing. That doesn't equate to much from a fantasy standpoint, unfortunately. So it's going to be very difficult to say, hey, let's go out and get this guy. It would take a LeGarrette Blount type of 18 touchdown season for him to be fantasy football relevant, which is hard to find in the NFL.
And what's crazy with this is the kind of thing, like when I'm on Twitter and like I'm seeing things and it really makes me question what other people see, because like I've seen other analysts say, oh, estimate, this is like one of my top rookie running backs in the class. Like this is my guy. And I'm like, do you need to find another hobby?
What games did you watch?
I just don't. I say that and it comes out like pretty shitty. But like,
are they fantasy football analysts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's what I mean. Like not NFL analysts, like fantasy guys going, oh, this is my guy in the draft. And I'm like, I don't see it.
The question is like, what games did you watch? And if they watch some games that are different years and go back and watch them, maybe you missed something. But
that's
what I do.
I mean, I don't watch just one game, though. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I don't just, like you said, four games. Like, I try to put four games on there. And some guys, like, I fall in love with, like, Jane Daniels. Like, I'll watch all his games. Yeah. Like, I'll find guys.
Yeah, there are guys that I'll watch 8, 9, 10 games.
Yeah, Breece Hall. I watched every game I possibly could because, like, it was orgasmic watching that guy run. Like I said, it's like, I described him at the time, like, oh, watching him play was like watching him play, like, Madden when he knew all the plays coming. That's like watching Breece Hall. Like, Estimate, it's just like, I've seen this kind of guy before. Like, there's not a lot of...
He's just like 6 to 7 for you, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's funny, because you guys are low on him, and somehow I think I'm lower.
What do you have, Matt?
He has the worst score of all the guys I've graded so far.
I have a 62. I have a
61. Yeah, that's the worst score I've given so far. I thought
you gave somebody a 49 or something.
No, that was Jared.
I have a 64.
I didn't give anybody a 49. I gave somebody a 54.
59. But... Yeah, I didn't like his tape at all, honestly. Like, I can understand, yes, there's some power and some physicality there, but that's really it. Like, decent vision, but he waits, especially for somebody that lacks explosiveness, he waits way too long for the play to develop, and he's not somebody that can be creative in the backfield to make up for that. So a lot of times we'll see him get hit behind the line, and sure, he's physical, so he'll fall forward, but you're getting back to the line of scrimmage. Like, there's not... There's like I don't see it at all.
Slow two and slow through.
Yeah, he's a worse Braylon Allen without the upside. Like
I agree, he doesn't have the same kind of upside as Braylon Allen for me. And he's a
He's a slower.
Scoach slower.
Yeah. And then not as explosive, yep. which isn't saying much. I don't see much in the receiving game. Like he can catch, but we're like
no one's going to throw him the ball. Yeah. No one's going to use him as a pass catching option for sure.
And like he had an awesome collegiate career and that is awesome. But for fantasy football purposes, I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
I see it if he scores 18 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, there's a path.
He's going to be limited
that type of player. Yeah, there's not a lot of running backs anymore with that type of size that can get you that goal line work.
I guess. I don't know. I just.
It really is.
And we have to remember next year's class. We can't say this enough. Next year's class
is supposed to be a very good
is going to water down this class completely.
Any class. I mean, this is one of the worst running back classes we've graded.
It really is.
This is the worst class we've graded, yeah. As far as the nerds.
This is the worst I've seen since the Jacquizz Roger year.
Oof. Yeah, which was like, I mean,
pre-Dynasty.
There's three or four guys that I think could challenge for the top spot in next week's episodes. So,
yeah.
This isn't the whole class. We still have Benson, we have Lloyd, we have Corum, we have like
I'm really excited to watch Benson from what I've seen. Yeah. Like he going to be my top back.
Yeah.
And I'm from your take, I'm really excited to watch Marshawn Lloyd as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's definitely guys next week that will add to this that will help. But they're still going to probably fall in a similar range of Jonathan Brooks and Jalen Wright. Good backs, but none of them are going to be elite.
Out of all those guys we've talked about, Jonathan Brooks and Jalen Wright are the only guys I'm considering in the top two rounds of my rookie drafts right now.
I think that's absolutely fair.
True.
But
Braylon Allen possibly at the back half of the second round. Possibly.
Depending on draft capital and where he goes. But we have one more guy to talk about.
We sure do.
We do.
Next up, Imani Bailey, TCU running back, 5'7" 3/8", 202 pounds, 9¾-inch hands, 29 7/8-inch arms, 70¾-inch wingspan. He is 22 years old. He'll be 23 at the end of November. In the 40, he ran a 4.61. He had a 1.57 10-yard split. He had a 116-inch broad jump, 33.5-inch vertical. Last year in 12 games, he had 223 carries, 1,209 yards, 8 touchdowns, 25 receptions, 184 yards, and an additional touchdown through the air.
When you see
in the air.
In the air.
Through the
I
air.
Can feel it
by the air
come with the, of the air.
With the air. Bailey was interesting for me because you saw the combine stuff, you saw the size, you saw the speed, the measured speed.
All bad.
It looked really
none
bad.
Of it's good.
And it was a player that I was like, I mean, he's a TCU back. I feel like if there was anything there, I would have heard more and known more. Because I, for a guy that pays attention to college stuff.
They suck this year.
I really didn't know much about him at all. I didn't hate his tape.
Dude.
I'm with you, dude. So I like this guy.
It blew me
guy.
Away. I thought it would be the only... We all came in we all like... We all had the exact same reaction. Because I would do...
This is this year's Khalil Herbert. That's what this is. Late-round guy that we're all like, I kind of like this guy. Like,
yeah. I read all the measurables like you did. And I read... I was, this is the glass guy I studied.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a quick one.
I thought he runs like a bat out of hell.
And I was like, every snap, I'm like, he got the ball. I'm like, well, that's a good snap.
He makes some guys miss. He's really good at catching the ball. He like
good balance.
Yeah. I had a good comp to him.
I think for me, when I'm watching him, he feels like Devontae Freeman. And in that he's a smaller guy.
I don't hate that.
He's a smaller guy. He catches passes well. He can move laterally very well, like you said, make people miss. He's never taking on a full hit of a guy. You know what I mean? At 5'7", 202 pounds, you don't want to be taking on a full defender. You want to be able to move just enough so you're taking glancing blows. You're working on a half of a guy, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's how you win when you're that size at any level. And especially, though, if you're, 202 pounds trying to do this in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. I came away. I even thought his vision was solid.
Dude.
I thought he had good patience. He kind of understood the blocking schemes and where to fit and where not to. Like it didn't make sense. Like I didn't want to like him, But I came away like
eyes don't lie,
he's
man.
He's a solid. Yeah. He's a solid. I still think he's a day three guy.
Yeah, so do I.
I
but
think dude,
we all like this gets me excited. We all had the exact same reaction. Yeah. Like exact same.
You grade a 70 for me.
Even talking about
I had a 70 for you. I had a 71.
Yeah. Okay, I had just under a 69.
I like you said his vision. I liked his vision.
What's it going
to
take?
What's he going to take to bump it from a 68.7 to a 69?
I thought a lot of his tape like that.
I bet you. Let's argue. Let's argue at least one thing that I can get you to bump him up.
What about burst? What do you have his
right.
burst at?
All right. So like acceleration. I have a 7.5 for acceleration.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, so thought I thought he had really good burst. What 7. About his blocking?
I gave him a lower pass pro. I gave him 5.5.
I gave him 6.5 there. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I gave him a 6.5 too. You yeah, got it with
that. I got to bump it up. Yeah.
I came for his size. I came away extremely impressed.
The technique is there.
His role is a pass catching role in the NFL.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, and dude, he lined up, obviously at TCU, but he lined up outside a lot. Yeah. But like, if you watch, like, if you go back, because there's a couple times where he was in the backfield, he blocked. A lot of times, I like to stop the tape, go back, and like watch a good cut and look mm-hmm. see what he saw. Two different times, I went back and watched his block and him stonewalling.
Okay, I'll go back and watch him a little bit more because
bigger than him. I thought
same.
So where I'll go back and watch one. That's where you're off at. I think his blocking is way better than you think.
He does a great job of moving his feet and getting to where that rusher is. And I think his recognition.
He's smart. I was going to say the recognition and the technique looked really good. Yeah. I saw a couple times he got beat pretty badly. So that's why it lowered for me, even though I liked his technique. But let me go back and watch and see what I find. Because we have a lot of TCU
we'll get you that
overall
69.
That you can find.
Yeah. As far as like, I think toughness get there a goes, higher. Too, okay. I thought he's one of the tougher running backs played. That I watched.
Yep.
In real play. Good first balance. Yep. Good but. Balance as well. I mean, God, like, I say, I now listen. I'm not screaming rooftop. This guy's a first round rookie pick.
No, same.
But this is one running back that I will have
in the fourth round. This is the type of guy you target.
He's under the radar.
I think he's potentially in the right spot, a third round rookie pick.
Like, maybe, I think draft capital will dictate that he doesn't need to be.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Probably not. But this is you're right. If this is a guy who's there in the fourth round, Amani Bailey from TCU, he's somebody I'm swooping up like every time in the fourth round. But where he go, this is a guy where if he gets in the right spot, I'm he's a third round pick for me, because now we have a whole other show to do. But of all these guys we talked about, two things that gets me excited, the tape, three things, the tape that I saw, and it is two things, and then how all of us, but
or
all
was
of
it
us
a Wednesday,
were equally on the same page because historically. When we are all on the same page, historically, guys, about something like this, it works.
Pretty solid hit rate.
Whether it's bad or good, we're right. Mm-hmm. Whether it be a Juju Smith-Schuster, a Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool, we were all out and we looked really bad for 1 year.
Devin Funchess, guys like that, you know, like get the draft cap. Like when we're all on the same page and we're all excited about the exact same things. That gets me more excited. So, like, I was already like, oh, I came into this show to do the show. Like, oh, this was a player I kind of liked. Mm-hmm. But when I heard all of us excited about the exact same things that we kind of liked about, that gets me more excited. It's a better way to put it. So, for me, Amani Bailey, running back out of TCU, like, he's on my radar. And I think now the fact that we're all on the same page, he'll get bumped up. How old was he too, Matt?
22 right now.
22. Yep. So pretty average age.
Yeah, so he'll get bumped up in my overall probably rankings and running back rankings some just because of that. Because a lot of these guys, like you said, even like I like him more than Ray Davis because there's some upside there, right? Like
there's juice in his game.
Yeah. And remember, and when Matt told me Devontae Freeman, that actually, I was like, oh, yeah, that does remind me a lot too. Like a later round draft pick guy that – you know, Matt, but now to be fair, Matt actually liked Devontae Freeman a lot coming out. Like he actually took him in the second round of a lot of rookie drafts.
I got him at, I think it was the second round.
I think it
might have even been late first.
I remember you were significantly higher than the consensus on Devontae Freeman.
I had him on a lot of teams because
was there even a consensus back then?
I don't know. I just know Matt was
amongst
between
Rich
us and DLF. The consensus was
I was abnormally high on Kareem Hunt coming out. Like, I liked him a lot coming out. Then the consensus, and I was like, everybody else gives this guy. I remember watching this film. I was like, right now, everybody's saying this guy going to back in the second. I guarantee by come draft day, this guy will be a first round rookie pick. That's how good I felt about Kareem. But I remember Matt being really high on Devontae Freeman, way more than I was. Like, I thought he was a nice running back, but like, I like that comp a lot. A lot to him.
I'm trying to right now to find Aaron Jones's measurables, because I think he's another guy that came in pretty small, almost around 200, maybe 205 pounds. So he might be.
Freeman was thicker though. Freeman weighed like 220.
No, Freeman was smaller as well. I just
I know he's short, but I thought he was stockier.
I know I don't have that. I don't have that far back. So.
Aaron Jones draft combine measurables are 5'9.5", 208.
208. Okay. Yep. Okay.
2 inches taller.
I finally got to it. Yep.
But yeah, Monty Bailey, that's good. I'm glad we're all on the same page there. Yeah. A fun watch. A pleasant cherry on top of all that film.
I had a 5 for his patience, and I said you said that you liked his patience. So mm-hmm. I think in a 6 for his vision, like those two things are really bringing his score down, because we put a lot of weight mm-hmm. into those two things. Yeah. So maybe I'll go back and watch.
You go watch that. I'll go watch his pass protection.
Yeah,
I thought there's a lot of times where I saw him running in the back of his line, which I hate seeing that. I mean, slow down, let your blocks develop, and that was the only con really I saw in his game.
I thought some of that was overall size and stature. I thought some of that was okay. I thought he followed his defender, like his block, pretty well.
Yeah, to me it seemed like he was doing that to try to set up the defender.
Yeah,
but I'll go back and watch too, because you know it, that's something that I do too. I hate it when it's just smacking into him. To me, it seemed intentional to try to set up the defender and then bust it outside. But
yeah, forever, just like you run out of bat of hell. I'm like, slow down.
Forever,
you
know, called let it Trent develop Richardson
a little bit.
Oh,
nobody worst. Ran into their offensive lineman worse than Trent Richardson.
I saw AJ Dillon do a lot in college.
There was somebody else,
habitual butt sniffer.
Who was the guy that ended up going to Jacksonville? Armstead did that so much. I don't know if you guys remember him. He would have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Ron Armstead.
Yep,
I don't remember him.
No,
he doesn't. Ron. He doesn't stick out for me.
He was the year before James Robinson.
Reichwell
Arms.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. He. I mean, so many times there was zero patience.
The worst running backs that just get the ball and they don't care where.
He was going straight.
What gap is it, Coach? I'm going there.
That gap's supposed to be right here. I'm running right here.
You said between the 3 and the 5 on the field.
Anthony McFarland was another one.
He did do that a little bit.
I liked Anthony McFarland.
He's
out of Maryland, right?
Yeah. He was so fast.
Yeah. He was shit. He.
It's no instincts.
God, now you say. Bailey's tape is a little bit like McFarland. He does kind of remind me of Anthony McFarland.
Dang, no, brought him out a little bit.
I like McFarland's tape a little bit.
McFarland was definitely faster, though. He ran like a 4.3.
He got drafted by Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't go anywhere.
He's still on that team.
So
at least he was last year.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was still there last year.
That's it for this rookie running back class. We have one more to do. We have two more shows to do. We'll be back next week to break and finalize this running back class, which then will be halfway. No, because we have a lot of receivers to talk about. To talk about. So fun class. If you enjoyed the show, leave a rating and review wherever you are listening. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, we'd love a rating and review. It really does help get the show out there. Keep us at the top of the charts. We got a lot of fun stuff coming. A lot more rookie stuff to come ahead. One more running back, 3 weeks of receivers, 1 of tight ends, and then we're going to be at the NFL draft. Oh, and I cannot wait.
So fun. One of the best weekends of the year.
All right. Toodaloo.
Adios.